Let's continue reading verses 14 through 23 of Hosea chapter 2. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have the good news of the future restoration of Israel, both the spiritual restoration of her people and the physical restoration of her land. Hosea chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth will answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Once again, some background notes. In the Bible, marriage is used in both the Old Testament and New Testament to illustrate God's love relationship with his people. We certainly see this in the marriage of Hosea the prophet. Hosea's wife Gomer turned away from Hosea's love and care and ran off and became a prostitute slave. This was not a one-night stand, but a life of adultery. All this was part of the object lesson that God was giving through Hosea's domestic life to the nation of Israel. Israel had turned away from the Lord and committed spiritual adultery by chasing after the foreign gods and the sinful practices of these foreign religions. For these sins, God would have to judge his people. The prophecies of judgment that we saw in the first half of Hosea chapter 2 would literally be fulfilled when the Assyrian Empire conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. Even to this day, the consequences of God's judgment on the nation of Israel for her spiritual adultery continue. But now comes the good news. There will be a future restoration of Israel, a spiritual restoration of her people, and a physical or material restoration of her land. This good news is what the second half of Hosea chapter 2 is all about. And this good news is also illustrated in Hosea's marriage. In chapter 3, Hosea is directed by God to go and buy back his wife from her condition as a prostitute slave and continue to love her. What a picture of God's love for his wayward people. Thus, the theme of Hosea is redeeming love. Now, just before we go to our doctrinal and teaching points, let me ask you, would you be willing to do what Hosea did? God asked Hosea to do a very unpleasant thing, and Hosea submitted to God's will, even though it was unpleasant at that time. Hosea will be forever grateful. Now, let me ask you, is God calling you right now to do something for him that is unpleasant? We all like the pleasant things. But God many times calls us to do that which is unpleasant. Maybe even to forgive and be reconciled in a broken relationship. Are you willing to do something that's unpleasant? Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one. The nation of Israel will be forgiven and restored. The nation of Israel will be forgiven and restored. Verses 16 and 17. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, for I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals. And verses 19 and 20. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And verse 23, then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. The idea in the use of the word betroth in verses 19 and 20 is the idea of a new beginning. The sin of spiritual adultery is forgiven. It's back to the honeymoon days. Same idea is at the end of verse 15. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. These were the days of the honeymoon period. The word translated love or loving kindness in verse 19 is the Hebrew word chesed, and it means strong and steadfast and loyal love and kindness. The word implies complete forgiveness and full restoration in this context. Now come the big questions. To whom was this promise given, and when will it be fulfilled? In the context, the promise is made to the nation of Israel. And notice, it is made after Israel has already broken the covenant and forsaken the Lord. So the idea that this promise is to be spiritualized to the church, the New Testament bride of Christ, because Israel forsook the Lord and broke the covenant, does not make sense. No, this promise was made after Israel had already forsaken the Lord and broken the covenant. This promise was made with the Jewish people and will be kept with the Jewish people in the future. The promise of verse 23, that those who are not God's people will become God's people, can certainly be applied and extended to all believers, as it is when it's quoted in the New Testament, both in Romans 9:25 and 1 Peter 2:10. But this does not mean that we take the promise away from Israel and make God a promise breaker. We have the same promise of forgiveness and restoration of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. And verse 8, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord to do all his commandments, which I command you today. Notice that these promises here in Deuteronomy 30 are made to Israel after the predictions are made in Deuteronomy chapter 29 that Israel would forsake the Lord. So the promises here in Hosea chapter 2 are definitely made to Israel, not the church. The Jewish people are already returning to the land, and the secular state of Israel has been reestablished. The spiritual revival is yet to come, but it will come. Read Romans 11 in this connection. The increasing number of Jewish believers in Israel today is only a foretaste of what's to come in the future. The nation of Israel will be forgiven and restored. Doctrinal point number 2. The land of Israel will be safe and blessed. The land of Israel will be safe and blessed. Verse 18. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. What a difference from the devastation of the land that we read about in the first half of the chapter. And what a difference from the way the land is today. The land of Israel today is not free from weapons. Verses 21 and 22. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord, I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil. God will send material blessings on the land in the coming day. Again, we have this promise of blessing on the land in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. You know, when you travel in the land of Israel today, already you can see how productive the land can be. Many areas that were formerly wilderness are now productive farms. But this is only a foretaste of what's to come in the future when Israel returns to the Lord. The land of Israel will be safe and blessed. Practical application. Your valley of Achor can become a door of hope. Your valley of Achor can become a door of hope. Verses 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. What a beautiful picture of the Lord relating to his people in love. The wilderness is no longer a desert place, but a place of comfort because the Lord is there. Let me ask you, are you facing any deserts right now? That desert may be a place of blessing in disguise. The Lord wants to speak to you and love you without any outside distractions. Now, what about the Valley of Achor? We read about the Valley of Achor back in Joshua chapter 7. This is where Israel had to stone Achan, the man who had troubled Israel and caused Israel to sin. In fact, the name Valley of Achor means the Valley of Trouble. But the good news here is that the Valley of Trouble will become a door of hope. The time of judgment is over. The time of blessing is ahead. Have you had to face the Valley of Achor in your life? Has God had to discipline you for some sin in your life? The Valley of Achor can become a door of hope. God loves to bless us in the very area in which we have failed. Example, let's say that you've sinned by refusing to submit to the authority structures that God has placed in your life, in the home or in the church. Listen, God wants to bless your life, but he cannot bless your life until you get that area straightened out before the Lord. That's your Valley of Achor in this example. But when you do learn the lesson that God has for you and begin to submit to authority, that's exactly where the Lord begins to bless your life and make you a blessing. So exactly what is your Valley of Achor where God is dealing with you? The good news is that your Valley of Achor can become a door of hope.